salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I always want to jump in here too early while the music's still playing and I have to speak over the top of it. And sometimes you guys miss the first 10 or 15 seconds of wisdom that I shoot out of my mouth. Just kidding. Just kidding. You know, before Michelle fell, when we crawled in bed last night, it doesn't take me long to fall asleep. It took me a little bit longer last night for some reason. Before she fell asleep, she said something. And when I saw her first thing this morning, when she came walking out, I was sitting at the table doing a little bit of show prep. She came walking out. She said the exact same thing again. And it just kind of dawned on me. You know what Michelle said? Right here. I just opened up my Bible. In the beginning, God. That's the last thing Michelle said to me last night before she fell asleep. And the first thing she said to me again this morning. In the beginning, God. And I want you to think how far we've fallen from that. How far we've fallen from that very ideal, that very idea and ideal, that very thought. That here we are, depending on what you believe in your history or creation history or, you know, the scientists, they want to tell us billions and billions of years. And, what you know, it doesn't matter whether you... It doesn't matter what you believe. People like to say, well, the Bible says that I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's so simplistic. That is so utterly, stupidly simplistic. Because there's a lot of things that the Bible says that taken out of context. It's like I was reading something today from one of the founders. I can't remember. I saw a lot of stuff, you know, as I do show prep, I come across a lot of things. And I'm paraphrasing one of the founders. I don't even remember which one it is. It was, but he said, if you take the meaning of the Constitution out of the context in which it was written, it becomes a dangerous weapon. Now, I want to say that again. If you take the Constitution out of the context, meaning the time and place and culture and era, if you take the Constitution and don't consider the time and era and place in which it was written, it becomes a dangerous weapon. And boy, have we seen that. And boy, is that ever true of the Bible as well. And I tell you every day when I come to this show, I'm not a theologian. I haven't been to a cemetery. I mean, a seminary. I haven't been one of those. And a lot of the things that I read and study and things we talk about here on the show, I've learned from someone else. Or better yet, I've learned to question from someone else. The thoughts that I come up with rarely are original with me. I found them someplace else. I pondered them. I thought about them. I researched them. Because the Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. And even though people say that the Bible is the word of God and it's the truth and it stands alone, that's true. But not taken out of context, folks. Not taken out of context and pretext. No. If you take it out of the time in which it was written and the conditions in which it was written, with the knowledge base that they had, with the informational base that was afforded to them, with their ability to be able to communicate, If we could actually sit down and think about where we lived at, right now, as I look at my computer, I see Mike Heath in Mount Airy, North Carolina. On my screen, I see him. I see Larry in Myrtle Beach. I see Randy someplace in Oklahoma. I see Jeff's out in Fallon, Nevada. I see more. But who would have ever thought that the time would come when we would take this Bible, all we had, No Walter Cronkite, no Tom Brokenjaw, nobody telling us what to do, where to go. Whoever thought that this book here would still be relevant in this mass communication, instant communication. Hey, Jeff Fallon, how far away are you from me, Jeff? You said you were going to drive it. How far was that? You're muted. You're muted.
I was calculated on the GPS 2,141 miles, one way.
2,141 miles, and we have instant communication. You say it out of your mouth, and I hear it. Yet the precepts of the Bible remain true. The precepts do. We have to understand the time and place in which we lived and not in which it was written, and not be afraid to question not the truth of the Bible, but the conditions of the Bible, what they were dealing. Am I sounding like a heretic? Because I'm not trying to change anything in the Bible. I'm just telling you, context is everything, folks. It's everything. It's like we ask ourselves the founders. When the founders said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And you hear people say, well, they didn't mention Christ. They didn't mention Jesus. Why do you think this was a Christian nation? They just used God because they were open to other gods. Well, see, you believe that because you are out of context of the time in which they lived. They mentioned our creator because it was universal who our creator was. Are you guys picking up what I'm laying down? Are you following me here? Because we don't have a strong enough knowledge base to understand the times in which the men of Issachar understood the time in which they lived. Randy, the time in which they lived, not the time in which we lived. They understand the time in which they lived, and they knew what it was that Israel needed to do. So are we like the men of Issachar who understand the time in which we live? And the time in which we live is not the time in which the men of Issachar lived. It's not the same situation. Are we shocked? Does it shock us? Do you even stop and think about it? Or do you think it's a fairy tale that when you read the story, see, I hate that story because it sounds make-believe, right? When you read the history of the cataclysmic, titanic battle between the little shepherd boy David and this giant Goliath, when we read the historical account of that, do we even stop and ask ourselves, giant? What do you mean, giant? What are you talking about? Or do we just read it as a Hollywood or Disney World fairy tale? See, context, right? We weren't there. We did not. This is going to sound almost heretical, but bear with me a second. What would the Bible sound like today if we were to write it today? If we were to take the exact same writers and put them here today and have them write today's Bible in terms that we understand, or better yet, when they had a deeper understanding of the times in which we live. Making sense? Do you think if the framers of the Constitution, if they could go back and redo the Constitution today, would they have used the same language? Would they have had the advantage of forethought? If Thomas Jefferson was here today, would he have been more clear, more specific on some of the words and some of the language that they'd used? I think they would have. And as soon as we move away from context in any part of the Bible, as soon as we move away from that, we get in dangerous, dangerous territory. Very dangerous. You get in the book of Revelation, and I'm not a great studier of the book of Revelation. But if you were John the Revelator, how would you explain a flying saucer? How would you explain television? How would you explain mass communication? How would you explain an atomic bomb? And so John the Revelator explained it in words that he called them grasshoppers, right? He came up with all these terms because why? He had no words. He had no words. Amen. He couldn't explain it. Couldn't explain it. So I think we run a very, 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 I think we run, how do I say it? Golly, I'm a Bible believer, okay? I'm a Bible believer. But I'm not afraid to question the context and the time period and the environment in which the book was written. It changes everything. Changes everything. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, was all the world the same? Isn't all the world the same today as it was back in the time of Jesus? Back in the time of Jesus, there were people who never even left their communities. Maybe they went to the neighborhood community, but they never left right where they were. And when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, to them it may have meant walk 10 miles down the road, go down to Nineveh, or go someplace else. And today when we hear, go ye into all the world, we know that means go into all the world. We know it means the world. It's a different context. Am I sounding heretical? Because I'm not trying to be. I'm not. I'm trying to get us to take the truth of the scriptures and bring them into everyday parlance, everyday language, everyday application. What's the Bible say? All scripture is given. Can somebody help me with that vibe, Bible? All scripture is given for reproof. Does anybody know where that is? It just popped up.
2 Timothy 3:16.
What is it?
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy 3:16. See if you can pull that up there, Mike. 2 Timothy 3:16. Hey, folks, this is straight from the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you, I wasn't thinking about this when I came down. You can believe it or not, I don't care. I don't care what you believe. Where is it? I'm trying to find it. There it is. Let's see. 1 Timothy. Mike's trying to pull it up here, I think.
2 Timothy.
Well, my phone's going off. Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. I'm getting all... 2 Timothy. All scripture is given for inspiration. I'll find it here in my Bible. Are you hearing me, Mike? Just not. Okay. So you're looking for it or trying to get it? Because I'm all scripture. Where is it? 16. Well, somebody say 2:16. What did they say?
3:16.
Thanks, Randy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Just that aspect. What's the purpose of scripture? Doctrine, reproof, correction. A reproof for correction and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible's a training manual. It's a training manual. So, Coach, where are you coming from today? Well, I'm coming from a couple different angles. Of, in the beginning, God. That's a pretty powerful statement. And we've done everything that we can. The culture and the society and the world is doing everything they can to eliminate God. Everything they can. Thinking science is smarter than God, that psychology is smarter than God, medical experts smarter than God. In the beginning, God. And by the way, at the end, God. And we just fill in the chapters as we go. So what are you talking about, Coach? Well, I got some emails yesterday. This has caused issues with me more than once. I'm not afraid to talk about the Nephilim. I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I'm sorry if your, dare I say this, narrow-minded pastor doesn't want to discuss it. I'm sorry. I spent 60-some years in church before I ever heard the first thing about the Nephilim, which is clearly spoken of in the scriptures. Clearly spoken of. And I bring it up yesterday in passing, talking about Dr. Emmanuel, who was talking about Genesis 6. I bring it up, and then I begin to hear from people who think I'm heretical, a heretic. Why are you talking about that? That's extra biblical. What do you read? Folks, let me ask you a question. You ever read 1984 by George Orwell? Say, yeah, I've read that. Well, that would be called, that's extra historical text, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say that that's a description of history from George Orwell's perspective? And even though it may not be biblical truth, it sure shines a light on a lot of stuff, doesn't it? And why? Well, Mike, let me see that. Mike, go to the website gotquestions.org. Well, I got so much good stuff here today. God, just go to gotquestions.org. And I should have copied this for you. Okay. Now I don't want to do this one, Mike. I don't want to do this one. Go up in the search bar, Mike, on the same things. Go back to gotquestions.com. I love that website, by the way, even though it's the own theology comes out. Should be a quest place to ask a question somewhere on it. Search. Mike, search most discussed issues in church and see what comes up. Most discussed issues in church. Most discussed issues in church. Here's 100 results. What happened at the Vatican? What happened at the Council of Florence? What was the Counter-Reformation? What happened at the Council of Carthage? Who was Herod Agrippa? All of these, I was looking at another one today, the most searched. And you know what, folks? What is the divine right of kings? You guys know any of these things? Why did I should be included in a church constitution? And I was noticing, I went down and down and down and down. I have found the discussion of the Nephilim to be so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a great hook to draw non-believers in. They think you're nuts at first. They think you're nuts at first. But I always come from the perspective, say, listen, I don't know, but I know this. The Bible talks about him. Mike, go back to that original thing you had up there. It says, who were the Nephilim? Who were the Nephilim? As if those of you who sent me emails, as if I made this up myself. As if I came up with the idea. I'd never even heard of the Nephilim until about 15, maybe 20 years ago. Never even heard of them. And some of you are listening right now, never heard of it either. And you think I'm crazy because your pastor doesn't believe in it. And it's not an issue whether I believe in it or you believe in it. That's not even the issue.
Coach, why are you reacting to it? Because you know there's going to be people who don't study and read that section, and you've even had pastors approach you about it.
Right.
So why are you reacting to it?
I'm reacting to it this way because the major premise of this show has always been the stuff we don't know.
Yeah,
it's always been that with me. The stuff that Coach, we don't know. Yes,
Coach. Let me answer Mark's question, not for you or on behalf of you, but just throw this out there. We react to stuff like this and other people's lack of reaction to our truth, and you know, the Bible talks about Nephilim, and it's true. At least at that point in time, that's what the writers knew them fast and talked to them. That it's true. There were Nephilim, and the Bible wouldn't be saying it. So,
yeah, Larry,
Coach, let me answer Mark's question here quickly because it's important. The reason we react And we challenge other people's lack of reaction or action on truth is because we get so frustrated when truth is ignored.
I think that's well said, Larry. I think that's well said. Listen, folks, I'm not here to tell you the truth, okay? I'm not here to tell you. I'm here to ask the questions. That's all I do. I have my own beliefs. I have things that I believe. But how can you go to church? Some of you have been in church in 60 years and have never heard of this. How can that possibly be? So I went to Got Questions this morning, which is a pretty respectable website. And what does it say anything about the Nephilim? Well, it says, who were they? Well, answer, the Nephilim, the fallen ones, the giants, were the offspring of sexual relationships between the sons of God and the daughters of men in Genesis 6. There's much debate as to the identity of the sons of God. It is our opinion that the sons of God were fallen angels who mated with human females or possessed human males and then mated with human females. These unions resulted in offspring, the Nephilim, who were heroes of old, men of renown, Genesis 6. For discussion of various interpretations, please read our article on the identity of the sons of God and daughters of men. How could you go to church, me? How could I go to church 50 years and never hear about this? Randy, can you help me? Can anybody out there help me? How could some of you watching this show right now have never heard of this? Now, I'm going to hang on a second, which was the point I made yesterday about Dr. Stella Emanuel. 24 million people watched her talk there. 24 million people watched
it. Because, Coach, because you're outside the box.
I'm outside the box.
That's the reason. Right.
Facebook, did you know this? Did you know that yesterday Facebook banned this show? They pulled this show down right in the middle of the show. Did you know YouTube did exactly the same thing right in the middle of the show? And I'm going to ask you this. Do you think it was just by happenstance that Dr. Stella Emanuel was given that platform to stand in front of America 2 days ago? You guys think that was by happenstance? Or do you believe that God orders steps? And do you understand now the left, of course, what does the left do? The left wants to discredit Dr. Stella Emanuel when she begins to talk about what? These things here. They don't want these things revealed to the, how do I say this? The Christianly ignorant, right? Why are you ignorant? Because you've never been taught. Now, stop. Are the giants coming back? I don't know. Are they locked someplace down in Antarctica? I don't know. You go to Steve Quayle and read his three books on fallen angels and giants. I mean, I don't know. But how can you, folks, how can any of us go to church 50 years and not know anything about the Nephilim? Can somebody explain that to me? Can somebody explain that to me? And why this seems like so out of the ordinary? Somebody help me out.
Well, Coach, you come across, they talk, they read it out of the scripture, but they're never expounded on it.
Well, you just read over it, right? You just brush over it. There were giants in those days, right? It might click on Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Click right there on that. It should pop up.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You ask them a question. Since they don't, that's in their knowledge. Because when you go to Revelation 9, it talks about these locusts coming out of the pit, tormenting man for 5 months. Man can't be killed. He wants to die, but he can't. There's some supernatural things happening in Revelation.
Yes, something going on,
but But the other thing is why does it say in the flood that it rained for 150 days? Is there some kind of correlation between 150 days that the locusts get to torment man like God tormented the Nephilim for 150 days?
Hmm.
Put it back on them. Let getting them too, answer. The
getting
question.
Too deep for me now, Craig. Getting too deep for me. Remember, Craig, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. You're getting too deep for me now, man.
No, I just asked them. Let them answer the question. Put the question back to them, because if they have the knowledge, they should have some sort of reason. You build the scriptures on precept against precept.
Yeah, but Craig, there you go again. There you go again. Mike, keep this right here. Mike, go to Bible reading. Because my friend Craig sent this to me yesterday, which kind of sparked what I'm talking about now, okay? The very first thing, Bible reading, Mike. I think it was you, Craig. Always planting these seeds. You want to know why there's so much biblical ignorance? Well, Mike's going to have it up there on the screen for us here in just a second. There it is. It says Bible reading, Mike. You should just be able to click on that link. It says Bible reading.
Hey, Coach, can I share a story with you real quick?
Yes.
Kind of ties into it.
Go ahead.
My wife's getting her hair cut. She says, you got to come up here and talk to this lady, because she was asking questions about revelation and prophecy. And I've done deep studies into these things, but not that I have all the answers. But anyways, she said, I got a question for you. My daughter asked my pastor about the Adam's apple and why they took an apple, and why they call it the Adam's apple. And she said her pastor didn't know. And I explained to her, I said, There's no apple in the Bible. It's a tree of good and evil.
Right.
It doesn't tell you what the fruit is. The pastor couldn't even tell her, and he couldn't even explain why the Adam's apple was called that in a man. Hmm. That's just an explanation of a fair, not a fairy tale, but it's not true. It's not biblical. It's just an additional story, a wives' tale, if you will.
Which we like to believe, right? You know why that happens, Craig? Because on your screen right now, 2020 State of the Bible report reveals 9% of Americans read their Bible daily. 9%. Folks, 1 out of 10 Christians that you sit beside in church, 9 out of 10 don't even read the Bible. So therefore, they are susceptible or dependent on someone else telling them what the Bible says. Are you with me? Do you see why we're in the mess that we're in? And then not only that, those people, only 9% read the Bible. They have no biblical curiosity at all. At all. And so then a guy comes along like Mark Trump. Just use him as an example. And he has a little bit of curiosity. And he begins to not only read about Nimrod, but decides he's going to do a little deeper research on Nimrod. And when he gets into the deeper research on Nimrod, it opens up more doors to deeper truths that nobody ever told. Am I reading your mail? Craig, am I reading your mail? Did a deeper investigation of the scriptures?
Amen.
Right?
Well, honestly, I got to admit, it was the witness of you men that I met. It was all of you guys on stage, you, Russ, L.A. Marzulli, Michael Lake, everyone who was there. I realized how far I fell short and how little knowledge I knew about scriptural things, because I'd been a part of that same farce called the government church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're controlled. Y'all ask why they don't teach about the Nephilim. They're not allowed to, Coach. United Methodist Church Council. And these councils approve the lessons for the churches in these big organizations. They're corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So they have quotas on how many times they can teach Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
They provide the stuff to the church to put out, all the booklets and pamphlets and text and content. The pastors have very little control at all if you're part of an organized religion, unless you are independent in an organized religion, which you're going to get fired.
So Mark, hang on a second, Larry. So I want to make this point. So as a result, most of us have an understanding of the Bible through Hollywood. Hollywood has framed our biblical knowledge, folks, whether we admit it or not.
Amen, Coach.
Right? Not the Bible. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, Mark, it's more than just a quota on number of times they can do stuff. The United Methodist Church is one of the CUIC groups, and they have all agreed on a five-year liturgy, and literally every one of those churches on any given Sunday, there is a prepared outline of a sermon for that Sunday in every one of those 11 dominant denominations around the country on that day. They cannot deviate from it. They may add a little bit to it on their own here and there. They might still have permission to do that. But the main message, the main sermon in every one of those churches on the same day, every day, is the same. Tell me the Holy Spirit's allowed to move in there.
Okay, let me frame it another way. Let me frame it another way, folks, just as an example. If I ask you right now, you, I'm talking to you, not your pastor. If I ask you right now to give us a sermon on Esther, that'd be too easy. Give us a sermon on Babylon. Most of you would not raise your hand and volunteer to do it. Why? Because you have no real understanding of Babylon. You've heard of it, but you couldn't teach it. How about if I said, how about somebody right now, give us a lesson on the Tower of Babel? Well, some of you might be able to give an overview of it, but you couldn't give us a context, a time, place, context of what was going on. Why? Because you have no understanding of it. So if you're a pastor, are you going to stand in the pulpit and talk about Babylon, the Tower of Babel, if you don't understand it? Of course not. And it falls back into the same thing. Hang on, Dale. It falls back into the same thing. I am totally dependent. If I go to Pastor Dale's church, the most horrible thing I could ever do is depend on him to teach me everything in the Bible. That's a burden that should never be put on him. And it limits what I'm going to hear.
The scripture says, study to show yourself approved.
Amen.
A workman rightly dividing the word of truth and unashamed.
Amen. Coach. Amen.
Okay. Bingo. Yourself.
I got like five things I want to share. And first is that Psalms 47, I think it's 47. It says, deep cries out to deep, as the sounds of a waterfall roaring. Remember how I always said most Christians are what? At the beach, on top of the water, plain. But if you want to see where the life is, you go deep. And the deeper you get, the more you're going to find out there's even greater life, more revelation.
Amen.
Same thing with the scriptures. The second point is last night at church, my wife's sitting here, so if I'm wrong, she's going to correct me. I asked the church, I said, all right, I want you to quote to me the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Nobody could do it. And then I said, okay, what are the 5 points? Everybody started with freedom of speech. And I said, nope, that's not the first one. The first one is that government will establish no religion and the free exercise thereof. Therefore, of all of the Constitution, the most important thing is religion and the exercise thereof. And therefore, amen, as a Christian, if you don't exercise your faith is dead, because faith without works is dead.
Amen. Amen. It's so simple, isn't it? It is now, so simple.
Here's the last thing. Maybe this will get you pulled. Remember yesterday I told you about a kid who went to get in line for that test? Now, I'm not talking about something that I read, Coach. I'm talking about people I know. Two more students who went, got the information, but the line was too long and they left. Guess what they just found out? These are kids right here in my community. Guess what they just got back?
They're positive.
That they were positive for COVID for a test they never had done on them. That's just in my little sphere. Imagine what's happening across the nation.
Okay, so Dale, great examples. Larry, I see you. Come on in.
Well, you know, I was just going to say that verse that Dale used, man, study to show yourself. You know, you're responsible for your study and approved a workman. Now, there's no works you can do to pay for your debts, the sins you committed before you came to Christ. But once you come to Christ, there's a work for you to do. It's called be obedient to the leadership of Christ. And if you don't think that you have to commit that work, that you have to perform that work, then you're sadly mistaken. Somebody's taught you a bunch of bull crap.
Well, 9 out of 10 people don't read their Bibles. Mike, I'm going to see how quick you are on your feet. See how quick you are on your feet, Mike. Pull up This Present Darkness, Frank Peretti. I'm going to give you an illustration here, okay? The Book of Enoch. Have you guys ever heard of the Book of Enoch? I'm not going to get into the debate about whether it's canonical. I'm not even going to get into that debate, okay? I'm not going to. But I tell you this, in my life, does everybody know Ephesians 6? Does anybody know that? Can anybody quote Ephesians 6 verse? Is it 11? Is it 10? Is 11? Can anybody quote that to me? 6:13, I think it is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now that is the Bible. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. But it doesn't settle it. It doesn't settle it because I myself went to extra biblical material outside of the Bible that gave me an open window to what they were talking about. And I read the book by Frank Peretti called This Present Darkness. And This Present Darkness, not being a Bible, not being canon, not being approved by any group or authors, opened my eyes to Ephesians 6:13. Are you guys following me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the narrow focus they have us on in the Bible? It's so narrow. Salvation and wealth and prosperity and so narrow. And this huge, huge book of history of the whole creation of man. And the time of man upon the earth is in this book. And they have us so narrow. We don't talk about that here. What? So what's the point I'm making? Book of Enoch, which some of you won't read because your pastor said it's not biblical. Well, read This Present Darkness, and it will make you understand Ephesians 6 better.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Randy. I saw you, Randy. Go ahead.
Coach, you can't see what's going on the inside until you get on the outside and look in. And that's what I tell people. I tell them all the time. I know from my own life, and I didn't backslide. I just said, I want more, and the churches could not provide it. The system couldn't provide it. I went on the outside and I start looking in and truth begins to open up. You have to want that. If you don't want that, you're going to stay on the inside the rest of your life.
So Randy, they get mad at me. Maybe not mad. That's not the proper word. I get resistance if I tell people, read the Book of Enoch. I say, listen, it's not the Bible. It's not the Bible, but it's like reading Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness. It might explain context and content a little bit better to you. You might have a better understanding of what the Bible says if you read what Enoch said. Oh, no, it's not the Bible. No, don't quote it as scripture, but it's a great historical reference to maybe what was going on at that time. Does anybody think that that's heretical to do that? Why would you be afraid to read the Book of Enoch?
Exactly, Coach, because their pastor more interested in saying, hey, go read Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now, or Rick Warren, Your Purpose-Driven Life. But whether you believe it was part of the Holy Scripture or not, it is a good book to read. But here's the thing, Randy, you're right, man. You know what it's like? It's like going to McDonald's every day and eating some cheesy, lousy, stinking hamburger. And if you want steak, guess what? McDonald's is not going to serve your steak. You're actually going to have to go to the store, buy it yourself, and cook it up. Study to show yourself approved.
Hey, Coach.
new history leads to new conclusions. Old history leads to the same conclusions.
Boy. In fact, Mark, don't they call that revelation? Say, I got a revelation. Yeah. I just had a revelation.
Old history keeps things consistent. What has happened all through time? Men have fallen because they've lost their history. History's turned into myth, and then myth to legend. Yep, and then it becomes fake news. So most of us are following fake news, while others of us are following old history.
So, Mark, here's a simple question that we could ask ourselves. Do you believe that the spiritual warfare and spiritual weaponry and spiritual attack in the world, is it the same today as it was in 1850?
I think so. I think the tools have changed.
The tools have changed. The tools have changed, right? But we haven't picked up any new tools. We haven't.
Same Satan since.
Yes.
Surely thou shalt not die.
Same God. In the beginning, same God, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Let me provide some biblical proof of what you just said about the what's in the Bible versus the Word of God, etc. In Ephesians, it says there's the fivefold ministry, and one of those is a prophet. And that's not a guy that comes around and tells you how great your ministry is going to be in the future. A prophet is somebody who speaks the Word of God. Now, it may not be in the 77 books of what we call the Bible, but if that prophet is truly a prophet, he is speaking the words God gave him to speak to that audience or that person.
Amen.
That's every bit as biblical as the words in the 77 books.
Oh, brother. Hey, what all scriptures, what? Given by inspiration of God for profit for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. The Book of Enoch, Wikipedia. Okay. Now, I don't trust Wikipedia. It's not biblical canon, okay? But what does Wikipedia say about the Book of Enoch? Well, it says the Book of Enoch is an ancient Hebrew apocalyptic religious text ascribed by tradition to Enoch, the great grandfather of Noah. Enoch contains unique material on the origins of demons and giants, why some angels fell from heaven, an explanation of why the great flood was morally necessary, and prophetic explanation of the thousand-year reign of Messiah. Now, time out! Wouldn't that right there just be enough to make you want to investigate this? I'm going to read about that. Wow! Just like reading this present darkness. Why? Because this present darkness revealed a biblical truth to me. It wasn't biblical, but it revealed a truth. It revealed a truth.
If you're reading a book without the Bible, I mean, isn't that the books we should be reading are the ones that you can line up and it makes you interested in things, right, Coach?
Well, Mark, that's what various Aramaic fragments found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, as well as Koine Greek and Latin fragments, were proof that the Book of Enoch was known by Jews and early Christians. The book was quoted by some first and second century authors in the Testaments of 12 patriarchs. Authors of the New Testament were also familiar with some of the content of the story. A short section of Enoch 1:9 is cited in the New Testament epistle of Jude, and also attributed there to Enoch the seventh from Adam, although this section of Enoch, well, First Enoch is a midrash on Deuteronomy 23:2. Folks, I never said Enoch was scriptural. This present darkness isn't scriptural. This present darkness helps explain the spiritual war to me. It helped me see it and understand it better. Could it be the Book of Enoch? Let's just call it a history book, not a biblical book, just a history book. Could this better help us understand Genesis 6? Could it?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second, Alan. And why do so many pastors tell you not to read it? It's like it's pornography. Aren't you big enough and smart enough to discern the truth? Go ahead, Alan.
Now, I'm just going to say, Coach, if people actually read their Bible and actually read Genesis chapter 10, Genesis 11, about Nimrod, about the Tower of Babel, the United Nations would have never been able to erect a freaking building in America. We're seeing the same thing happen again. I preached on it last night. This mass mandate, the vaccination, Coach, all this crap is coming from the United Nations New World Order, beast system, and people are too stupid. The Christians in America is too dumb to realize and understand the same thing that happened in Genesis 10 is happening all over again.
Nothing new under the sun, is there? Nothing new under the sun. Hang on, I got to switch gears here because Genesis 6, huh? There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, right? There it is. Is that just a throwaway verse? Just a throwaway? And then people were, I don't want this to sound right, because it's okay to, we should question these things. But I talked about what Dr. Stella said yesterday in regards to incubus and succubus. And you'd have thought I went, you'd have, anyway, people said, are you crazy? Well, Mike, click on God Questions.
Hey, Coach.
This ain't coming from me. Yeah, Randy.
Coach, if you wrote a commentary, if you wrote a letter, an epistle to me, and it was all confirmed biblically, every bit of it was right on, is that not inspired?
Truth is truth, is it not, Randy?
No, and it's inspired if the Holy Spirit confirms it by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And this is why we judge things. This is why we judge it. We read the book.
So here's my point.
Folks, that's good stuff. We need another one. It's heresy. It's real.
Here's my point. Okay. Yesterday, I couldn't believe the number of reactions I heard from people who had never heard of an incubus and a succubus. And I want you to know that an incubus and a succubus is so common that God Questions has a section on it. I didn't make this up. What is a succubus? I simply typed that in at God Questions. And what's it say? According to medieval folklore, succubus is a demon that takes the form of a woman in order to have intercourse with a man in his dreams. This name comes from Old Latin. It means to lie under. In Islamic superstition, there's a similar demon called the Quranna or Corinna. And then the ancient Middle Eastern cultures, Lilith was the night demon's name. Whichever name is used, the essential qualities are the same. A demon who tempts men sexually at night and tries to kill infants at birth. I ain't making it up. I didn't dig this up. There are two biblical passages that may refer directly to this kind of demon. One of the Dead Sea Scrolls depicts a being called the seductress, who has horns and wings and a multitude of sins in her wings. This being tempts men into sin and ultimately drags them into the pit. This passage is quite similar to Proverbs 2, 18 and 19, which describes the dangers of the seductress or strange woman. In describing results of God's judgment on Edom, it says the screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. The American Standard Version translates Lilith as night demon or monster. And the Revised Standard Version uses the name Lilith. Some commentaries have proposed the primitive cultures heard the cries of nocturnal animals and attributed those to demons because they didn't know what the heck was going on. So are succubi real? Well, if we want any credence to the widespread beliefs of ancient cultures, the answer would be yes. Time out a minute. You ever heard this in your church? I'm waiting. Anybody ever heard this in their church? If we confine our search to biblical writing, the answer becomes more difficult. To be sure, the name has been associated with demonic presence for several thousand years and fits in that context in the Bible. It's also certain that the Bible deals with demons as very real, very powerful beings who have dealings with mankind. Speaks of angels who sinned and were cast down to hell in judgment. likewise speaks of angels who kept not their first estate and are awaiting the last judgment. Jesus cast demons out of people, as did his disciples. Whether or not we accept the idea of sexual tempters, there's no doubt that demons themselves are real. So the male counterpart of the succubus is the incubus. And it goes on and on. And then I talk about it yesterday, and people think I pulled it out of the sky somewhere. What's the point? What's the point I'm trying to make? Only 9% of Americans even read the Bible. How would you know this? How could you possibly know this? You go ask the average person about the Nephilim, about the giants in the Bible, they don't know what you're talking about. They have no idea. Now, I try to talk to people about the mounds here in Ohio, Nephilim Central, as L.A. Marzulli calls them, Nephilim Central. They look at me like I got seven eyes. And it's right in the daggone Bible. Now, whether they're coming back, whether they're buried in Antarctica, whether they're somewhere under the God, hey, the Bible says that they're buried somewhere. Doesn't it say that? Is somebody out there smarter than me? Say that they've been buried, huh? That they've been stored away and they're going to be released. Is somebody better Bible scholar than me? I don't know.
I would say Amos 8, I think it's 8:1, coach. There's a famine in the land, and it's not for food, but for the word of God. When we look at this, the Bible is so accessible today at everybody's fingertip, yet there is a famine in the land. To hear the
Dale,
word.
The Bible is a book about demons, and we never even talk about it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Alan.
You know how you prove that you're right on what you're talking about, all these sexual demons? Just look at Bill Clinton and Epstein, bro. That's all you got to look at, them two.
Not only that, look how they're totally controlled by their sexual urges and sexual desires. Folks, that's otherworldly. It's absolutely otherworldly, this sexual demon. Go ahead, Randy.
No, Coach, I didn't have anything.
Okay, I thought you had anything.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, yeah. You don't get this just anywhere, do you? You don't get this just anywhere. And you want to do something? You walk into your church and start talking like this, and they'll think you pass gas. They've never even heard of it. Go ahead, Glenn. Let Glenn.
Yeah, there's me. Well, you know, there's a church called the Berean Bible Church, and I don't know anything really about it. But it's interesting, in a study that the pastor did on Enoch, okay, and he made reference to Jude 1, verses 12 to 13, and also 14 and 15, where
– Which quotes Enoch.
Right, so he makes allusions. And here's what the pastor says, and it's almost verbatim – what you said. He said, believers, Bereans, as honest pursuers of truth, we should not discount any textual assessment because of a preconceived fear of where it may lead. We must follow the truth no matter where it leads us.
Amen. And listen, folks, this is shocking. Are you sitting down? The Bible is truth, but there is truth outside the Bible.
Hey, well,
if you don't grasp that one, if you don't grasp that one, go ahead, Jeff.
This might fit in. It's kind of fitting for this morning. You give me that girl here in Mount Vernon with the problem she's having with just spirits and taking on energy and everything's going on with her. Three trips to the VA hospital. The last 3 or 4 months she's been with the Methodist Church in Mount Vernon, on and on and on. She's still attacked. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Stephanie called me back. I explained everything to Stephanie. She had a lot of information for me, a lot. And it was amazing because I told her, I said, Stephanie, we have been 3 or 4 of us men sitting down with Nicole. I said, I think it's time for a female. I think it's time for you. She's like, I'll come down, blah, blah, blah. She said, you call Nicole, give her my number. I called Nicole last night. I had a great conversation with her. So I enlightened each of them on each other. She's coming down this weekend. Stephanie's going to call her today. And she's going to sit down with somebody that's walked it, lived it, been through it, because that Methodist church can't help her. They don't have a clue.
No.
So that's supposed to be down this week.
Are we to believe Stephanie's crazy? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Are we to believe when Mark Trump confessed to us yesterday that he used to have sleep paralysis? Are we to believe Mark Trump's lying, that Mark Trump's crazy? Are you mean to tell me you look out on the culture and what's going on in society, and you look at some things, you say, that's demonic. You mean you can't see that? And you don't have a desire to have a deeper understanding of what's going on and what we're wrestling against? And come on! That's where we are, in my opinion. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have all the answers. I don't have them all. And I can't explain some of the things I come across. But daggone it, I'm not afraid to discuss it. I'm not afraid to investigate it. And I'm not afraid to admit that maybe I was wrong. Right? And what makes you realize you were wrong? Well, when the introduction of new information truth. Comes in,
truth
arrives. And then you can choose to believe everything you've been taught in church, or you can apply this truth that's been revealed to you and be honest and accepting and say, you know what? I was wrong about a lot of things. And now I'm going to search the truth on this because I want to know the truth. Why? Because it's only the truth, if you know it, that's going to make you free.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, what's the greatest deception? When you don't see it coming, what made the B-1 bomber such a formidable force?
Yeah,
they couldn't even see it on their radar. It came in and hit them, and they didn't even see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Coach, I just got a revelation. Why the sheeple are wearing the masks and just believing whatever Fauci says, because they have been programmed by their pastor to just believe whatever they say.
Oh, my goodness, huh? And don't ever forget that Satan comes as an angel of light, right? Hey, wear one of these because it's going to protect you. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Government wouldn't lie to me. Doctors wouldn't lie to me. They wouldn't lie to me. And by the way, that crazy doctor yesterday, when she was talking about giants and alien DNA. Oh, no. Right? Right? That's what it is. You shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, it's going to set you free, but you can't be afraid to look for it. And from my standpoint, my personal Christian walk, I'm amazed every day at how little I know. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, isn't it ironic how quick they shut her down? Oh. She's out of the box, Coach. She's an example of one of us because
God raised her up, Randy.
What, 20 million people heard that. Now they can't unhear it. They can't unsee it. They got to deal with it, Coach. That's God right. stuck right. her in there.
God stuck her right in the middle of it. He stuck her right in the middle of it. And not only did he stick her in the middle of it, then the enemy, trying to shut her up, goes to try to make her look like she's crazy by talking about alien DNA, giant, right? Oh, come on, man. Come on. It's an unveiling. It's a revealing to the whole world. People 2 days ago heard the word giants and Nephilim who had never heard it before. The combination of medicine and the spiritual realm. Did you hear her in that discussion? Yes, there's medicine, but there's a spiritual component to this. Do you hear any doctor doing that? Any doctor doing it? No. Do you hear any pastor doing it? No. Huh? Oh, my goodness. Folks, what a time in which we live. Let's not miss this train. I don't know where maybe it's the last train to Clarksville. I don't know. But if it is the last train to Clarksville, I'll meet you at the station, okay? We are living in the most cataclysmic time in the history of the world. Let's not miss this train. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.